It's the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of the hit 90s TV series, Melrose Place.
Dan.
And Jenny.
Let's get started. Season 3, episode 13, Just Say No, air date December 5th, 1994.
Oh man, we are getting almost to 95.
Mm-hmm.
We're so close.
And almost halfway, of season 3.
Almost.
This shit was good.
Yeah, I mean, every episode they're upping the ante. I gotta give it to them. It's a wild ride.
And the good ones... I always am like,
it's over?
Oh shit, it's over.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Like you feel like that it's only been on for 20 minutes.
Yeah, but man, the long ones. Remember season one?
Oh shit.
We were like, what is this, a 2-hour special? Remember the one we thought, like it was the finale of season two, and we were like, oh yeah, we can just get through this one, but it was like a 2.5-hour special.
Well, yeah, it was long.
That sucked.
Well, this one opens where we're at the beach house. We hear a baby crying.
And thank the Lord, Mancini's back. And my boy.
I love his first line. It's like, Kimberly, explain to me how we have this little monster again.
Explain to me where this little monster came from.
And she really doesn't give him an answer. She's like, oh, Michael, the phone is ringing. And we see Rhea / Maria.
It's Maria. I don't know where the fuck you got Rhea from.
She's cradling the baby in the bedroom and, like, taking care of the baby. So my question is, too, like, what does Maria get out of this?
She's just on staff.
Like, she just, like, lives at the beach house now?
She's probably an illegal. And they're harboring her.
You think? I mean, Kimberly, I thought that she was part of, like, the hospital staff.
Yeah. Kimberly's probably paying her a little something under the table. So when she's not working at the hospital, she's at the crib.
Well, she's there, and she's helping to care for the baby. The phone rings. Michael goes to answer it, and it's Jane on the other line.
Jane's like, Michael, it's me. Chris, he's stolen our money. And then I'm like, our money?
Yeah, it's like before, yeah. She didn't want anything to do with Michael or even be associated with him in any way.
Yeah, now she's crawling to him like, Michael, I need your dastardly deeds. Please help.
So Michael, of course, is like, did you call the police? Like the first question that comes to my brain, too.
Yeah, and she's like, no, it won't matter.
Because she said she did.
She's like, but it doesn't matter.
But there's nothing I can do because I gave him the rights to the checking account and allowed him the power to write checks.
And then he's like, God damn it, Jane, you're still a pushover between the sheets.
But you know what? I feel like that's not entirely true. If somebody is supposed to deposit funds from his company and he just steals it, that the funds were not.
But
meant-
he didn't steal it. He can just be like, what are you talking about? This is my bonus. But it doesn't matter. It's his money. He's on the account.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you are seeing it the way that Jane is describing it. So Michael is
They're
just,
engaged, you know? Just I like, guess. Whatever.
Michael is flustered and he just says, all right, fine. I'm coming over right now. And he tells Kimberly, when I get back, you better give me some straight answers. But for now, I got to deal with adult problems.
Yeah. So Michael, he hops in his... In his Mustang, I think that was a Stang, convertible, and he drives past Joe, who's, like, on a stakeout.
Right, so she's just been sitting in her car.
And wait a second. Wait. Michael, he's like, whatever, I gotta deal with something else right now. But there's a fucking baby that he has no idea.
Dad, I know.
In their goddamn beach house.
This is what's ludicrous about it.
It's like, and then, the phone's ringing?
And then.
The phone's ringing?
Yeah, it's like, I don't
fuck
care.
The phone. Whose kid is that?
And then I have to ask, too, why is Joe now trying to keep this still, like, under wraps? Like, only Kimberly can know. If I were Joe, I would go to that house with a freaking battering ram armed with all of my friends and be like, bitch, give me my baby back.
Right, like, now.
She could just go right now while Michael is home and say, Michael, this bitch stole my baby.
But no, she just walks up the stairs and knock, knock, knocks on the door, and Kimberly grabs her hand while she's knocking.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. I don't even know why she would go up and knock, and Kimberly's just like, oh, Joe, what can I do for you? And Joe's like, Kimberly, we both know that that baby in there is mine, and I'm here to take him.
And she just shakes her a little bit. Joe, like, just gives her a little shake.
Yeah,
punch her.
Like, people don't do this. You're a doctor. And Kimberly says, oh, Joe, you must be mistaken. Your baby was a stillborn. I should know because I delivered him.
And then Joe delivers her line, I'm going to get him back no matter what I have to do.
Yeah. And then again, it's like there is no, like, where are the stakes? Like, the not. I just feel like at this point.
Burn down their house.
Yeah. I would be like, I'm going to kill you.
I would light their fucking house on fire.
Me too.
Like, roll up, sneak under the boards, and get a book of matches and some dry leaves or whatever.
But
light a fire.
It's just kind of like, why? I would involve all of everyone I knew.
Smoke them out.
Yeah.
Start lighting up the beach chairs outside. Just set fire. On every corner of the house. She
and then,
will have to get out.
Then Kimberly and the baby perish in a house fire.
It's all screen doors. The whole house is screen doors. They have an exit on all the sides. They just can't be in there with the child. Mm. So they'll have to come outside. And then, Joe, get your gun and handle your business.
You know, that's kind of where I am too. But that is where we then go into the opening credits.
Them credits
Those are
hit.
Cold
credits
open.
Hit hard. And then we see the hella 90s prom limo with the TV antenna on the back. It's Chris and Sydney. And they're off to Vegas.
Okay. But they're taking the weirdest route I've ever seen. Dan, we've driven to Vegas a couple of times from LA.
We have.
Couple. And they seem like they're going off on, like, into, like, the desert. Like, they're not on a highway. And
like, off-roading?
Yeah, it's like they're off-roading in, like, the desert canyons. And then you see this sign that's like, Vegas, 50 miles. And it's like, how are you driving there?
We're almost there, Sid.
Yeah, so Chris is enjoying champagne in the back, and Sydney's being all like, I want to leave. Why are you making me do this, Chris?
Bullshit.
You take me across state lines so you think you can get away with me?
Don't think of it as kidnapping, Sid. Think of it as destiny. What? What the fuck are you talking about?
He then produces a jewelry box, which he opens, and we see it's the perfect set for your earrings, Sid.
He's like, I don't accept gifts from kidnappers. He's like, and then I immediately was like, yeah, you do. You're wearing his earrings.
You're wearing his earrings now.
So yeah, so he hooks her up with this badass necklace, and then she doesn't struggle at all.
Yeah.
For him to put it on.
You can tell.
After she's like, no. She's like, no, I don't want this necklace. Fuck you. And then he's like, come on, put it on. She's like,
and
oh,
she's
okay.
Like, oh, let me move my hair.
Yeah. All right. No. The clasp is in the back. Yeah.
Yeah. So next up, we are at D&D, and Allison is reporting to work, and Bruce catches her on the way in. She apologizes to Bruce, like, I'm sorry, I slept in. I was late, Bruce. And he's like, oh, no, no,
is
no.
Late? I don't give a fuck about like, being late.
I'm not talking about that. I just want you to hear it from me that Amanda and I just did not see eye to eye, and I have decided to let her go today.
And this is great news. If I was Allison, I'd be like, high five, Bruce.
Yeah, so she's wow, well, Bruce, this is quite a surprise. And then Bruce says, well, Allison, you're going to have to take on a lot more responsibility. I'm going to...
forming a new team.
Yeah, you're going to be part of that team, so get ready. And she's like, yes, Bruce, you just tell me what you need me to do, and I am there.
Meeting's at 3. Don't be late.
So the very next move that Allison makes is to go to Amanda's office.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, Amanda, I am just so sorry.
It's like, shut up, yeah. Allison. Amanda, really?
She's packing up her shit. She won't accept her apology. And she's like, oh, what? You come here to celebrate? I bet you did. How many drinks you had today?
You're always looking for an excuse to celebrate. What did you drink? And Allison just says, orange juice straight up.
Screwdriver's more like it. I can smell it on your breath. She's really laying it
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I mean, this scene was just full of like back to back, like clever little quips, digs, and just getting at each other.
It's not even lunchtime and you're already into happy hour.
So she
basically... Allison, she's like, all right, fuck it, let's fight.
Amanda basically says, will you come here to gloat? At least really tell me how you really feel. And then Allison just gives in and says, you know what, Amanda, you're right. You want to know how I feel? I feel like you're finally getting what you deserve. You've totally sabotaged the relationship with Billy and I. And that's when Amanda cuts her off and says, oh, really? I'm not going to take any credit for your monumental little, like, problems that you've been having.
You fucked Steve McMillan all on your own and rode all his horses, crashed your car into his fucking yard, all that shit. This scene reminds me of Talladega Nights.
What do you mean? What part?
When they're at the dinner table and they're like, are you good? The grandpa's like, you gonna let your kids talk to me like that? And Ricky Bobby's like, I love the way they're talking to you, Chip. They're winners. Winners can talk how they want. Like when Allison's just like, fuck it, I'm gonna start shitting on her too. It's like, I'm glad they fired you, Amanda.
Well, she finally does tell it like it is. And the real dig for me was like, let's face it, I'm better on 2 double vodkas than you are at your best.
Ooh, then Amanda, you think it's done then? Nope, you are wrong. Amanda hits her with the hotness.
Tell that to the next poor kid you run over.
Zing! And Allison's got nothing left after
Yeah,
that.
I mean, what do you say to that? You
can't really argue
You
with,
really did hit and run a man child.
The only thing she could do is say what she's already said before and be like, there's no stopping that. That kid was in a plane at dark.
And that kid came out of nowhere.
But Amanda storms out and we go back to Caesars. I love Caesars, by the way. And I love that Caesars is like the unofficial sponsor of Melrose Place.
Do you like
Minute Maid was the orange juice yeah. for season one. It's now Caesars.
Do you like this version of Caesars though?
Yeah.
Like their rooms?
It's very Vegas vacation.
It's yeah.
Like 90s Vegas kind of sucks. I like now Vegas.
Well, okay. So the suite that they're in has a circular bed with like blue velvet, like crushed velvet.
I fuck with the suite. I like the suite.
Do you like the statue of the cat in the corner?
I'm all
You're
about
digging
it.
That?
Yeah. I would put my clothes on it. Like when I unpack, I would just dress the cat.
So they're in a pretty opulent suite, especially for the 90s. And of course,
$1,000 a day.
Yeah, we have Sydney complaining, oh gosh, I'm locked up in a cell. And that's when Chris says, well, you're in a suite that costs $1,000. I can't even do it anymore. I don't.
But she's pretending to be pissed. And she's clearly not pissed. And you could clearly, like, you know how long it takes to get to any room in Caesars? Like, you have to walk through a lot.
And the elevator situation.
Yeah, tons of people to say, help me, I'm being kidnapped. Hey, get me away from this creep. Hey, security, please.
And even Chris says, I'm not holding you against your will. You are able to leave at any time. But what I think you might want to do is let me take you out to a dinner tonight. I'll wine and dine you. I'll get you a beautiful new dress for you to wear. And, you know, let me show you what your life could be, what you deserve.
And Sydney does, we know they've done a great job of, from seasons 1, 2, and 3, of establishing that Sydney does enjoy the material and finer things in life. So I get it from that perspective, how she wouldn't want to run off and call the cops. But Chris raped her. So how in God's name are you even considering this?
Well, she does. She's going to the door. And then when she hears that she could get a nice new dress out of the deal, she kind of saunters back over and she's like, gosh, this is so weird. And Chris says, come on. Admit it, Sid. You like me. You like me a little bit, don't you?
Admit it. You like when I raped you, don't you?
Oh, God. And you like my money even more.
So Sydney's like, well, maybe after I look at the dresses.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It's really painting Sid in a really bad light.
Yeah, and is this where they cut to her, they cut straight to her at the dress shop?
Yeah, so she's trying, well, they're not even at a dress shop, Dan.
Oh, they're just
the
downstairs.
Dresses come to her.
Oh.
They're still in the suite, but they brought up like a garment rack full of dresses. And she's trying them on.
And she looks great.
She looks great.
You're a 10, girl.
Yes.
You're a 10.
So she has on this like metallic, long, like 1940s inspired gown. And she looks at the price tag and exclaims, this dress has cost more than my last car.
Yeah, but your last car was
probably like $500.
Yeah. So that's not saying much. So she looks great. We cut over to D&D, where Allison comes to talk to Bruce to throw Amanda even more under the bus.
Right?
She's like, hey, Bruce, what's up, man? I know Amanda's gone, but I want to let you know that I did, like, all this shit that Amanda said she did.
Right. She's like, you can count on me 24 hours a day, which I'm like, why would you do that? Why would you say that?
And that is 100% lie.
And it's like, you don't need to be on call 24 hours a day for an ad agency.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you know, Amanda just really wasn't that good at giving credit where credit was due.
And then Bruce isn't even buying it. He's like, I'm sure with Amanda gone, you'll be a star. All right.
I mean, I think that is so just tacky. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Let your work speak for itself.
Yeah, just be quiet, Amanda. Allison. So Bruce, he takes a phone call while they're sitting there. And I'm sure he now realizes that probably Amanda owns D&D.
No, I don't think he does.
You don't think he realizes
no,
that
because
he knows she stabbed him in the back.
Well, I don't think he.
That's why he fired.
I don't
her.
Think he has any idea. So he takes a call. It's his attorney, and he's like, "What? Well, that's strange. How could that be? Okay, I'll call you when I get back to my office." So he hangs up, and then he looks at Allison and says, "That was my attorney. There is a consortium of doctors that they're taking over." D&D, and it turns out that they bought a very large portion of the business, and I'm no longer the biggest shareholder, so
right.
I don't have all the power. So I think he has no idea that Amanda is involved in this at all.
And then he tells Allison they want to schedule a special board meeting
tomorrow,
and I need to prove that I can run this place. So now Allison's a little scared
because
she's got Bruce in her pocket, basically. But now she has to worry about who the hell this like group is.
Yeah. So next up, we go back to Vegas and we see that Sydney has accessorized with a beautiful fur stole. And she and Chris are at the craps table. And man, if this is what being a kidnap victim is... Please
sign me up. Come take me right now, Chris. But craps is awesome. I love craps.
Yeah, I love watching it. I don't love playing it. I'm not a big gambler, but I love like watching someone else play.
Yeah, craps is fun. If you guys have never played it, it's one of the only games in Vegas where you're not playing necessarily against the other people playing. That's why craps tables get so loud and
like raucous and fun because you're right. All on each other's team.
Yeah, you're sort of a dick if you bet against the person throwing the dice. No one really does that. And if you do, you're an asshole and it's like bad juju on the whole table. So when you win, people are betting that you're going to win. You're going to pass and roll a 7 or 11. So they're doing it. They're doing it big. Everybody's cheering. That's why it's so fun and infectious.
Right. And Chris says, well, Sydney, why don't you take a roll?
He's like, oh, no, I can't.
This is just too hard for me. Too many rules. And he just gives her a chunk of chips. And she looks at it and says,
20 grand.
This is $20,000, Chris. And he's like, well, go ahead, babe. You want to play? And she's like, how do you know I'm not going to run off right now with all this money?
He's like, I know you won't run because you know there's more where that came from.
Yeah, he's like, would a prospector leave a gold mine?
I'd be like, sweetie, you are far from a gold mine, you weirdo. You weird ass. So now Michael is just waiting at Jane's door.
Right. So she comes home. He's sitting in the doorway and he wants to know what's going on with his money. And the first thing he says to Jane is, you know what? It took me a while, but I figured it out, Jane. You're going to be gone in 6 months, just like your little fiance, and you're off with my money, and that's it.
And then Jake shows up while they're arguing, and he's like, Jane, you okay? You need me to fuck up Michael? Is that cool? And she's like, no. So now they start talking about Sydney and Chris.
And the fact that she's missing too. And then Michael starts putting it together and he's like, oh, wait a minute. My apologies, Jane. You're not in cahoots with Chris. Sydney is.
Yeah. And, you know, you can't fool Michael. Michael's the king of this shit. He knows. He knows Sydney's is up to something.
Yeah, he knows that how she plays. And, you know, Jane admits to this. She goes, you know, what can I say? He had me fooled. And you know what? Sydney has you fooled, Jake.
Mm-hmm. Now, back to Vegas. Sydney's in the room getting a massage and eating chocolate-covered strawberries.
Again, this is the best kidnapping situation you could ever fall into.
She's loving that good life. And Chris rolls in. He's like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? And she's like, just passing the time. What do you mean? You're just passing the time? I'm sure. How much do you think that costs to get a massage in your room in Vegas? If that's even a thing. Can you get that?
There's a lot of places that do in-room spa services. Probably at that time, like maybe $100.
Hundy? That's it?
Maybe. I don't know.
To come to your room? I bet it's $100 to go to them. I bet it's like $200, $250.
All right. We'll go with that. Yeah. And so Chris says, oh, you know, Sydney, I want to be the one to give you a massage.
But I'd go a little deeper. The fuck does that mean? A dick massage?
And she's like, that's not part of our little deal here, okay?
And she's not getting a massage right. Because she's like, oh, to the right a little bit, a little lower, a little lower.
You know, I don't think there's a right or wrong way to get a massage.
No, I thought when you pay for a massage, you just like... You tell them the problem areas and you just let them work. But like if your friend's giving you a massage, like your girlfriend or your boyfriend or husband or wife, then you can be like, left, left.
Well, I think that it's just showing that like she's like taking the reins and like being like, this is how I want it done.
Well, I think it's more along the lines of like asking for ketchup on your steak. Like she just doesn't know how to do it right. You know?
Maybe.
But... Now we head to D&D. We're at this board meeting that Bruce was worried about in an earlier scene. And I noticed that Billy is wearing white socks with dress shoes.
I noticed that too. Michael was doing that in an earlier scene as well.
You can't do that unless you're Michael Jackson, man. You can't get away with that.
So we have a representative of this doctor's group who is kind of laying the groundwork about what the board can expect. And he says the board has a lot of stipulations on management, and they want to be the ones to decide who is going to be running the company. So, of course, hearing this kind of puts Bruce into a little bit of panic mode.
Mm-hmm.
But it really kicks into high gear when there are two attendees that are a little late to the meeting who roll up.
They start strolling in. It's Peter and Amanda back.
So Peter addresses everybody and says, "Well, yes, it was me. If you need to ask, Bruce."
"Hello, everyone.
I was part of the group of doctors that bought D&D, and one of my first orders of business is going to appoint Amanda Woodward as president of D&D.
And Bruce is pissed. He's like, "I have a knife in my back." And then he just grabs the shit out of Amanda
and starts shaking her. And he's like, "Rotten hell, Amanda." And then I'm like, "Where's Peter?" And they cut to Peter, and he is just like looking pleased, like, "Ha ha ha."
Peter don't play that shit. It's not part of the three weaknesses. So he's not worried about it.
Bruce leaves, but you'd think that he would want to step in and defend his woman's honor.
He's probably too good for violence.
Maybe.
"I don't resort to violence. I just pay for it."
So Amanda kind of takes over this little meeting.
And I think it's important to mention that Peter can do this because he has the votes.
Right.
In the group. He has the majority of the shares.
Mm-hmm.
So he can basically do whatever without Bruce's consent.
Right.
So the first thing of business for Amanda is to appoint Billy VP of accounts effective immediately.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, just add this to the many horrible business decisions
yes,
that Amanda has gone through. Just chalk it up. She fucks up royally.
And did you notice
this is worse than Chaz. This is worse than hiring Chaz.
Well,
it's a fucking mistake.
In the meeting, they introduced everybody, and they were like, "Yes, these are like our top people, like our ad execs."
Yeah. See that guy in jeans and white fucking socks?
No.
That's our VP.
They introduced Billy, Allison, and then there was another guy. I think his name was Ray. And I think he had white hair. So he was like, you know, he's got the experience. You'd think that like somebody else on the team would maybe be next in line. But Ray. Billy Campbell, like, seriously, he joined D&D, like, what was it, maybe three months ago? And, like, they're like, "He's the VP."
A freaking week ago.
So Amanda wants to see Billy out in the hallway immediately. And she says, "Billy, the first thing you..." And first, Billy has to pledge his allegiance to her. So he's like, "Well, Amanda, I gotta tell you, I was very surprised that you've selected me, but I'm gonna do whatever you need me to do, and I'm not gonna let you down." And yeah. She says, "Well, you have to fire Allison within 24 hours.
But Allison, just make it easy. Quit. Who cares?
Yeah. What? Why are you holding on to this crazy company?
The second she walked back in the room, if I were Allison, I would just stand up, like, and be like,
"I'm done.
It's my time."
So yeah.
This seems weird. I'm going to go to the ice cream parlor and put in an application.
Well, you'll remember Amanda said she couldn't get a job bagging groceries.
I'm going to be like, "I'm going to take that bet. I'm going to take that bet.
I'm going out of bonds now."
Yeah. We'll see. Just quit. Anybody. Bruce. All of them. You don't like. Bye.
But the way that they treat this, it's like life and death.
Yeah, like this is LA.
Their destiny. This is the only place they could ever work is D&D.
Like, "I'm gonna head over to Models Inc. and work with your mom." Fuck you. We're gonna fuck you over. Me and your mom.
That's actually a great idea.
Yeah. Me, your mom, Chaz, we're gonna hook up at work. Like, I'm single now. Chaz is really rearing to go. Let's do this. And we have the same haircut.
Well, you know what, Dan? We haven't addressed this, but Allison's haircut is...
It's better.
So much better.
It's the alcohol. She's waking up all JBF'd and... She got no time. She got no time to do that mane up. You know?
Yeah, before it looked like there was a lot of hair dryer and a lot of hairspray going into that.
She's bedhead all day. So Amanda tells Billy to fire Allison. She's a drunk. And then Billy's like, well, she's just getting over me. Shut the fuck up, Billy. She is a drunk. She's a total drunk. And Billy's like, you know what, Amanda, I don't know if I can do it. And Amanda's like, Billy, 24 hours, get that shit done, fire your friend. You are my possession.
So next scene, we're with Joe. She's at the hospital, and she's trying to convince this guy.
What is this?
Who is this guy, number one?
Some freak.
She's like, you have to get the files. My baby has been stolen by Kimberly Shaw.
The hospital clerk, his name is Kenneth Tigar. He is actually in the Avengers. He plays a German old man. He was in Lethal Weapon 3, played Ernie. He was a detective, and he is known for a conspiracy theory. He played a lawyer, and he's still working. He's going to be in Benny's Best Birthday. He's playing Father.
Don't miss that one.
He was on House of Cards. He played Walter Doyle. He's on Blind Spot, The Man in the High Castle. This guy's he's doing it. He's doing big things.
He seems like... He is so panicked and he is so stressed.
Yeah, and he's like, it's like Joe is his boss. And he's like stressing out because he like can't deliver for her. And he's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. You don't have, what are the records? And she's like, I don't know the goddamn records. Get it done. And he's like, I can't get it done for you. You need to know the babies. She's like, you're fucking fired. And he's like, please, what are we doing here? And like, they're like going through doorways. Like, you can't go through doorways at a hospital. And you definitely can't boss around this dude.
Who is he?
I don't know. He is like, very
hospital guy.
He is very stressed. She is stressing him out. And then she's waltzing through the place like screaming. And she's like, no one knows what's going on around here. I'm the mother. Everybody's looking at me like I'm crazy. What do you want? And he's like, I'll get it done for you, Joe. I don't know.
So she walks out screaming. Very weird scene.
Yeah.
My question is, if she's ready to just lay it on all the table and be like, this is what happened, go to the police.
Yeah.
What's the hospital going to do?
I bet they're there. I bet there's police right there. She's like, I'm not the one with the screw loose. Yeah, you are kind of, Joe. And she's pretty nimble. For just delivering, right?
That is that's a really great note.
She's like jerking around. She's up and running. Like she's legit right now. Yeah. Full recovery.
And she looks great too. That's a great observation.
Yeah. I would assume, you know, it's going to be hard for her for steps. Assuming she wasn't C-section. And even then she'd be even more... debilitated.
She wasn't C-section.
Yeah. So we cut away from there. Joe is like about to blow up the hospital. But Susan and Billy are at their apartment. Susan's cheersing Billy for this promotion that he got. And like Billy starts talking about Allison. And Susan says, I thought we weren't going to talk about Allison tonight. And then I'm like, they have nights where, like, they have a deal. Like, it's Thursday. No Allison.
No Allison talk tonight.
We can't do Allison tonight. Like, what is that about?
But then Billy goes into, oh, Susan, I just can't stop thinking about how it was all my fault. I mean, I made her get married to me. I pressured her. And then she called off the wedding because of her dad. And then because she wasn't ready to commit, I left her. And now she's drinking. She's a drunk.
And Susan's response is basically like, fuck her.
Yes.
Just fire her.
It's terrible. terrible. Susan's like, Billy, it's not just your fault. It's her dad's fault and her mom's fault. And it's my fault, too.
Yeah, it seems like this is the best move. You should probably fire
We're
her.
We're all assholes.
Yeah.
Like,
she spins it that firing her will help her to be convinced that she needs help.
Because the only way to help someone is to convince them that they need help.
Right. And to end their source of income.
That's a great move.
Yeah. She's going to kill herself. Like, that's not a good look. So Allison, she comes home.
Right. She walks bender. Through the...
She probably put on one at the bar. How drunk would you get if the girl that you said sucks when you're hammered is now your boss again?
Oh man. I would like, I mean, I'm,
she just quit. Quit and move.
She,
and she's your landlord.
She is not doing good. And you know, again, I gotta give Courtney Thorne Smith all of the credit.
She's like, a great drunk.
She plays drunk so well.
I'm shocked she hasn't been in more movies about drunk people.
Yeah, what was that with Meg Ryan, When a Man Loves a Woman? That was the 90s.
I don't know. When Harry Met Sally?
No. She was like, she played like an alcoholic.
Oh.
Anyway, she's kind of stumbling, and we kind of like, oh, she's loaded. And she's going to her apartment door, but then she hears the sweet sound of some music.
Yeah, they play a record.
Wafting down.
It sounds like a record.
And she sees Billy and Susan canoodling through their window.
And then they do this interesting shot of her going up the stairs, but she like sprints.
Running. She's taking like stairs three at a time. Yeah. She's like, I can't get up there quick enough. She knocks on the door. Billy comes to answer. And she just blasts through the door like, oh, hey, guys. This is a little romantic little dinner you have.
What is this, Screw Allison Day?
Is it screw out of a fiance or screw out of her promotion day? What are you celebrating?
She's drunk as shit.
And of course, Billy has to be like, Allison,
get out. You're not welcome here.
You're drunk.
I want you to leave. You're drunk.
So Allison is, I love it when Allison's wasted like this.
Yeah, she's
is that
just,
bad?
No, it's cool. She's like picking at their salad.
When
and
she's
shit.
Like, when she is super drunk, she is the best. Like, she goes up to like their food and starts like eating it, and she's like, this is so good.
I want there to be a spinoff called Allison Drunk, and she's the star.
Well, she just starts like telling them, well, you know what? You guys probably want to be alone. I'll give you some time. And as she leaves, she takes the tablecloth. And she just like
yanks it,
and everything with the candles that are lit, the bottles of wine, their plates with their dinner, it all goes crashing to the floor. And Allison,
like, get out.
Yeah, Allison just like laughs, and she's like, always wanted to do that. Well, good night, guys. Sweet dreams. And they're just speechless. They're just like looking at her like, what?
This Allison rocks.
She's the best.
I want to hang out with her. I see what her BF sees in her. What's his name?
Zach.
Yeah.
Yeah, where's he this episode?
Probably getting more rings.
He's at the ring shop.
I'm at the ring shop, boo. Oh, you know what somebody said?
What?
I think Shayna said this. She was like, last episode, how did Zach get her car keys?
I did see that when he was like,
get it fixed.
I got your car fixed. And we didn't even like
she
think about that.
She went straight to jail.
Yeah.
That shit would have been in like the, you know, empty your pockets, put it in this envelope, and then the police keep it. And then you get it when you get out.
Personal effects, yeah.
Right. How did he get them?
Great question.
It's a great question. Big loop, big plot hole there. I can't believe we didn't catch that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this Allison rocks. She leaves. And
this is the next day.
Next day, Amanda goes into her office to, like, start work.
And she gets a surprise of her life, guys.
She walks in, and I got the surprise of my life.
Yeah.
Shit. We were like, and she opens the door, she looks up, and Bruce is there, dead.
He's hanged himself in the office, and he has taken a note and like taped it to his shirt, which says, "Dear Amanda, congratulations on your promotion. Love, Bruce."
And again, is D&D the only place to work in the history of the world?
Well, we learn that Bruce is going through a very messy divorce. He just had a heart attack. But a lot of times you have a near-death experience like that. It kind of puts things into perspective. Like,
Bruce was the fucking president of D&D. Like, have you seen his house? He has money, like,
he
stashed.
He has the most pristine white carpet I've ever seen.
Take a trip. Like, charter a boat. Like, go on a vacation, sort it out. But don't kill yourself in her office.
Well, that's the route he chose to take.
Ugh, stupid, Bruce.
So Amanda is completely shocked, and we get, like, this really weird shot of Bruce. And the way that they have him, like, hanging, it, like, does not, it's not even, like, it looks impossible that he could have died this way.
Yeah, I think you can see his neck, like, heartbeat like it pulsates off his neck.
It's weird.
So Bruce is dead, guys.
So the next scene is the coroner coming to pick up the body, and we know that it's the coroner because of the shot of this guy that has the word coroner big as it could be on his back. And Allison, Billy, and Amanda are just kind of huddled in the corner watching all of the action. And of course, Amanda is shocked and flabbergasted, and she's blaming his death on herself, which, mm-hmm. you know, she did contribute to it. And Allison is just basically like, yeah, Amanda, you killed him.
Basically killed Bruce.
Like, your actions have consequences.
And she says, this is what you get when you push people too hard. And Billy's like, Allison, you're out of line. Shut the fuck up, Billy. Stop being a little bitch. Like, let them deal with it. Even though you're VP of accounts now. Like, this is between Allison and Amanda.
Right. So Allison, like, storms away. Billy follows her over to her little, like, cubicle area.
Not before Amanda tells Billy, like, I want her gone.
Like,
her,
you do it now.
So get her out of here.
Like, Billy's like, oh, man. Like, I have to deal with this. And he's like, look, Allison, I think we need to talk. Why don't we go out to lunch? I'll pay. And Allison's like, I have a doctor's appointment.
He's like, you seem to have a lot of those. We need to talk about what you did to my place. And she's like, what are you talking about?
He's like, what, you don't remember? You came over last night and you trashed my whole house.
She's like, no, I didn't. And then he says the dumbest shit. He's like, you had a blackout, didn't you? No one talks like that. Like, when I was getting hammered in college and high school, we'd be like, yo, blacked out last night. Fuck, can't believe I blacked out. But, like, it wasn't like, hello, everyone, I had a blackout.
And so Allison isn't buying this. You can tell that she's like, wait, what? Like, I definitely don't remember doing that. And she's like, well, maybe I did come by your place, but I definitely didn't do what you say I did.
And then, so Billy, we leave this conversation with Billy really stressing that they need to talk.
And, like, he needs to fire her ASAP.
Yeah. So Billy goes to the hospital to talk to Matt about this.
Yeah, so that's
like, how can we get Matt involved in this episode? Oh, we'll just have Billy go talk to him.
But, like, I thought they were going to get Matt involved by having Joe go to him and be like, Matt, you need to look up the records.
Yeah, Matt, you're good at fucking up records.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was going to be his, like, way in to be like, you need to find out, like, what edits were made and what happened to this other baby.
If Joe had 6 minutes at that computer, I bet she could change the records.
And
back.
She even said, like, I'll figure it out.
Yeah. No, you probably will. Just go in the whole thing. Type in five characters, and you're good. So Yeah, Billy goes to Matt to talk about Allison and alcoholism, and Matt is basically like, look, she needs treatment. And also, if she's in treatment, she can't be fired.
Right. Alcoholism is defined as a disease, and in the state of California, it's illegal to fire someone with a disease. So if she's actively seeking treatment,
you can't
against
fire.
The law.
So Billy's like, sweet, this is my way out. I'll just get her to get treatment, and then I can continue to fuck her best friend and be sort of her boss. This is perfect. Like, why does Allison even live there? Why? What the fuck? Like, what is the point?
I have no idea.
Like, look at all the things
go
on the
away.
Table.
Like,
look
run away.
All
go to
this
San
shit.
Francisco. Yeah. Go live with your sister.
Go find your sister, man. Go anywhere. Go anywhere. And you will have a better situation. You live below your ex-fiance who is dating your best friend. Your landlord is your boss who absolutely hates you, who also fucked your ex-fiance. Now she is your mega boss and is trying to get you fired. You drink every night. Your boyfriend is Zach and he wears 90 rings. And his hair looks like a Brillo pad that has been used for 365 days. Go move. You got to change it up. What did Jake say about his dad? He was like, well, you change your life or you change your name. Allison, do both. Do both. Just get out of Dodge, man.
I couldn't agree with you more, Dan.
Beat it. Hit what, the road. You like, got a new car?
I don't even know like what.
Oh, I didn't even mention that she hit a child on a goddamn bike on Thanksgiving. I didn't even mention that. This is bad news, Allison. You need to get out of town forever.
Well, I don't think she's going to do that anytime soon.
I don't think she is either. She's not prepared.
So we go back to Vegas where Sydney is just continuing to have to just take this horrible imprisonment by eating chocolate and lounging around in her gown.
Oh, poor me.
So that's when Chris storms in. Obviously, he's been gone for a long time. As we know, with his trip to Vegas with Jane, he does spend a lot of time on the casino floor. And this time, it didn't work out so well.
Yeah, Chris, he lost it all.
Yeah, he's
he
done.
He's a bad gambler,
he's
man.
So bad.
Real bad.
$500,000 $500,000
in less than like 48 hours.
Yeah, gone.
He blew it all. You gotta figure it out, man. You really gotta figure it out.
So Sydney's like, okay, well, I'm gonna go, and that's when he decides to like put the moves on her, and he like grabs her and tries to kiss her, and she tries to run away, and he slaps her.
Slaps her. She's like, I'm out of here. Chris is like, hey. Give me that necklace.
And Sydney's between like, your dress, necklace, and earrings, you're wearing $40,000.
Sydney's like, no, anything but the necklace. Like, this is where I draw the line.
Well, she learns that the money that he has is actually Jane's, and we do see a little bit of like, wait a minute, this is Jane's money? This is wrong. And she even says a line saying like,
what's wrong?
This necklace is for Jane. Like, it's
this
her
is what's
money.
Wrong? Going to Vegas and eat and take getting a massage after you've been kidnapped by your sister's fiance. That's wrong. You're with Jake.
Well, she runs into this other room that has very weird wallpaper. I don't understand what this other room is.
And Chris just like can't get in.
Yeah, and he's like, well, Sydney, I'm going to be back. And when I am, you're going to have to, I'm going to make you pay. Like, you better be ready for me.
Say, leave me alone, you sicko.
So, of course, the moment he leaves,
Sydney calls Shooters. And she needs Jake to meet her at Caesar's room 1018. She wants him to come rescue her.
Yeah, and Jake places a very quick call over to Jane. And
all
then
by heart.
They're in motion to go to the airport and get the next flight out to Vegas.
Every call is by heart.
Yep. But Dan, Jake, back in the 90s, you knew your top, like, I knew, like, my top, like, 12 friends.
Yeah, I guess you know your phone number.
Yeah.
Jake doesn't know Jane's number by heart.
He does. Obviously, he called her.
Yeah. So they agree. They're just going to meet at the airport. I guess that's a 90s thing. Like, all right, so we'll just meet at the airport and figure it out and buy a flight.
Yeah, that's how it was. It was like going to a train station.
Yeah. So they go, and now we head over to Allison's place where the gang is there.
Right. So Allison comes home from work, has no idea what's about to happen, and as she opens her own apartment, there's Billy, Susan, Matt, and some random dude just like standing in her apartment.
Random dude's name is Dr. Katz, played by Alan Echeverria. He is known for An Innocent Family. That's a short. Letters from a Killer. Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers, 1995. Star Trek Deep Space Nine. He played a patient. And in 1990, he played an assassin in Nasty Boys.
Oh, Nasty Boys.
Yeah. So
I don't know about you, but if I walk into my house and there's like all these people just chilling there, I'd be like, get out of here.
Yeah. Bye.
What are you doing?
But they all just jump on her and they're like, you're an alcoholic. Everyone knows it but you. You're hurting yourself. You suck. And Allison's like, it's all me. I'm drinking because of you, Billy.
Yeah. And then Matt's like jumps in and he's like, Allison, Billy told me about the blackouts. And she's like, oh, really? Did Billy tell you that I drink because of him?
Because I jumped out of a window of our wedding.
And then that's when, like, he's like, she's like, Matt, since you're such a good friend, why don't you get me into an AA program and I'll do it? But that's not good enough. They're like, yeah,
then I'm not, you need to go away.
You cannot do this on your own. There's a facility. It's about an hour away from here. It's called Twin Oaks. This dude, Dr. Katz, is like, he's a doctor there. He's going to take you there and you're going to get help.
28-day program. And better acting from Andrew Hsu here.
I had a note about that too.
Yeah.
I was like, you know,
couple layers. That's all we need is a couple layers. Like, not just soft, not just high, just a couple layers of like distress, caring, and anger. And he gave it.
Yeah, I have to agree. And I was thinking back, like, back to season one and what we came to expect from him. And if he had to do this scene back then.
Oh, he'd be like, you're drunk. You need help.
But really, I was super impressed with him. And I was like, wow, that's like something we've never seen from Billy before. Yeah.
He's like, come on, Allison. If you don't do this, you're gonna lose your job.
You're going to lose everything.
You're gonna lose it all.
And so she just kind of breaks down. And again, this was such a strong scene. Really great work from Courtney Thorne Smith.
She's like, what have I done? I'm drinking all the time. I need help. I'll go. So she agrees to go and do whatever it takes. And she gets a hug from Billy. And now we go to Vegas again. Back to Caesars.
So
and the song.
Oh, God, yeah.
Billy and Allison's first sex song is on, but it is the dubbed over knockoff version.
Well, no, I think it's the same thing, babe.
But yeah, it's like, the same song, but it's not the right song. Take me to your everlasting love. It's supposed to be like very all for one-ish.
Yeah, exactly.
Take me to that everlasting love.
But it's weird because it really doesn't fit the scene. No. So Sydney is having room service delivered and it's like this like a cheese plate. And at that moment, Jake shows up and he just walks into the suite. He just like opens the door and he's in.
And Sydney's just signing this bill. And did you see Jake got a glimpse of how much the bill was and like rolled his eyes like, holy shit.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. He like looks over and he's like, Jesus Christ.
And she's like, oh, Jake, it's just been so awful. I've been held here against my will. And he's like, yeah, Sydney, it looks like you've just been like imprisoned. Wow.
Yeah. For a kidnap victim, you look pretty good.
Yeah. Like nice dress. Oh, yeah. Chris made me wear this. And he's like, okay, well, let's go.
Yeah, he gives a look of like, what the fuck have I got myself into here? And then we cut over to Michael and Jane. They're also at Caesar's, and they see Chris on the casino floor. And they just confront him right there, like, give us the money. And he's like, I don't have it.
All I have is $5,000, but it's in chip form.
And then they're Jane's like, I'll kill you.
And then Michael's like, where is the other $495,000?
Yeah. Where's the rest, all right? He's in like a Bill Cosby sweater.
Right. And then he goes to punch Chris in the face, but Chris intercepts his punch and like turns it around and like smashes Michael's face on the side of a craps table.
And no one there gives a shit.
No one does anything. And
they
continue just
playing.
He hit his face hard.
Yeah.
Like that would leave a mark.
That would get you kicked out of the casino.
But in all of the confusion and like hubbub of him falling, Chris like turns around and just like runs away.
Michael, for being such a badass, like he's gotten beat up the most.
More than Billy.
Matt kicked his ass. Remember, Matt fucked up Michael. Yeah, Matt kicked his ass.
Well,
kneed him in the face when he was on the ground.
Matt, I mean, Matt's a bigger guy. Like, you know, he can hold his own.
Robert kicked Michael's ass. Yeah. When they were having dinner. He fucked him up real good. Like, just punched him in the stomach and threw him out. Who else has kicked Michael's ass? didn't he go to like the work of Jane's dates? It was like their friend who Jane like made out with, and he was like, don't go see Jane anymore. And the guy just beat him up at the work. He like put him in some kind of headlock.
Oh yeah,
at the construction site.
Yeah.
He's had a couple
scuffles.
I'm sure Kimberly's beat his ass too a couple times. Michael's down and Jane, I guess, is consoling him.
Now, the next scene is Billy, Matt, and Allison, and they're in, it looks like a Chevy Tracker.
4x4 Geo Tracker.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yep. That's Matt's car. And they're stopping over at a gas station to get some like snacks or something.
But you know what? That was not Matt's car when he went to his mom's for Thanksgiving.
I did notice that because he had that old like Chevy like Celebrity beater. Or something from like 78.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's got to stop at the gas station. He has to go in. Allison's like, oh, okay, well, I'll go to the bathroom.
Well, and Allison even says, like, you know what? After I've admitted it and said it out loud, I have a drinking problem, and I'm ready to face it. I just need help. And she says, I'm going to go to the restroom. Billy says, well, I'll go with you. What?
That's not how it works.
Go in the bathroom with her?
She's like, Billy, I got it.
Like, I can do this on my own. So it's one of those situations where the bathroom is outside of the gas station. Mm-hmm. So she goes around the corner and kind of like spies around and she sees Matt and Billy in the store. And she contemplates this for a minute and she's like, screw this. I'm going.
She dips.
And she just
like,
runs.
Fuck it.
Yeah, she just runs away.
And then is this where Billy like does a half ditch effort?
Yeah. So Billy then walks around. And he's like, Allison. And for some reason, she opens the bathroom door and just like leaves it ajar. So he goes and looks in, sees that Allison is not there. And he's just like, Allison. And he just like looks to his right and left and is like, oh, well,
I guess she's gone.
That's it.
So now Allison is just walking aimlessly down the street And she comes up on this bar where two freaks come out of.
Yeah, it's like this dive bar, and like two older guys like come out drunk, and it seems like she's found like her oasis in the middle of a desert. It's like, this is what she needs. It's her bar. But as soon as she sees the guys come out,
degenerates.
She just starts like being like, I can't go in there. And she just sits on a bench and just looks at the bar and just starts crying.
Yeah, it's like a bus stop. And she looks up like she doesn't know where or who she is. You know?
Maybe she doesn't.
There's and like the camera like pans upward, up and away from her. Uh-huh. It's like
weird shot.
Yeah, it's not good. So go back to Caesar's. Jake's on the phone calling about flights from Vegas to LAX, and he has a condescending tone about flying into Burbank. Which I'm like, I love flying into Burbank.
Do you have anything to LAX or even Burbank?
Or Burbank. It's like, fuck you, Jake.
Burbank's the best.
Flying into Bob Hope Airport is fine.
Well, Dan, if you're living in West Hollywood or wherever they live in that area, LAX is going to be a little bit more convenient for them than going to the Valley.
I guess so. So they're all up in this suite, Michael and Jane and Sydney and Jake. And Jake and Sydney are just going to go fly out now. And Jane and Michael are like, oh, well,
we're going to clear our head.
We'll stick
what?
Around.
Well, you're just going to stick around? That's weird.
Yeah, there's no real reason for them to stay at all.
So they're together, and the minute that Jane and Jake leave, you're like, oh, God, they're going to hook up.
Definitely.
Yeah, you totally called it.
100%. And Jake leaves, and he's not really buying it from Sydney.
Yeah, you can tell. He's
like, I'll meet you at the fucking elevator.
And even Jane is like, I can't believe you're playing into her little fantasy. And he's like, who says I'm doing that? I just want to get out of here.
Yeah. And I want to pawn these earrings. So Jane and Michael, they're hanging out on the floor of Caesar's, and they come up on the roulette table.
Yeah, and they're like, you know what? We have this $5,000. Might as well just bet it all and see what happens. And for a moment, I'm like, you know what? They're going to bet it, and they're going to win $500,000, and everything's going to be fine.
Nope.
So that's really the opposite of what happened.
Doesn't Michael say, oh, put it on black like my heart?
Yeah. That's exactly what he says. And then it hits on red. So they lose $5,000, their last $5,000 that they have.
Jane's just laughing.
Yeah, they're just like, what can you do but laugh? And she's like, hey, how does it feel to own half of exactly nothing?
He's like, I need a goddamn drink. Thanks for losing that $5,000.
That's the last we had.
So she's like, oh, well, let's go up to the suite, raid the bar. We paid for it.
Yeah, so they're up there by themselves. And of course,
I thought they might get married again.
But he's already married.
So Vegas don't know. So they raid the bar. And Michael, they're sort of just up there drinking, trading war stories. And Michael's talking about Kimberly wanting a baby, and Jane's like laughing about it. She's like, "Yeah, you're a lousy hell husband. Maybe you'll make a better father."
And then she just kind of gets that look in her eye and like looks at Michael, and Michael's like, "Oh, hello." Mm-hmm. She leans over and kisses him, and Michael's like, "What's that for?" And she said, "I don't know. I just wanted to feel like, just to see what it felt like to be the other woman." And then
I'd be happy to show you.
Yeah. So we see them like just going at it, taking off their clothes, and then we cut away to the next scene.
Beach house. Joe rolls up to get her baby once again.
And she is serious this time.
She's like, you crazy bitch, you really think you can keep me out?
So this time she goes around to the back because Kimberly is like, go away. And isn't it weird whenever Joe comes, like the baby is somewhere else and Kimberly's just like standing there watching?
It's creepy.
It's very creepy. So Joe realizes that Kimberly isn't going to let her in. So she takes a beach chair and just clobbers the sliding glass door and shatters.
And you can tell that Kimberly's like, I've already called the police. And she's just sort of baiting her. I could tell that from the start.
Yeah.
She was baiting her to try to get physical and whatnot. So Joe, she breaks the glass and like just runs in there and she's like, "You stay out of my fucking way, Kimberly. I'm taking my baby and that's it." And
Kimberly's like, "I'm the only mother he knows." And I just want to be like, "No, you're not. Freaking Maria's the only mother that he knows." Yeah. I think we've seen you hold him like one time.
You can't just give him your boobie once and think that's it.
Yeah, Maria's the one doing all the heavy lifting here. You're not even holding him now and he's crying.
Yeah, and so Kimberly's like, "Wait, no, stop, don't." And she knows that the cops are going to come
any
second.
And she's like, "Don't do anything you'll regret." So Joe picks the baby up and she's like, "You're mine. I'm never going to let you go again." And then like on cue, the police barge into the apartment, into the beach house.
These are rookies because that one cop looked like he was about 14.
Yeah, and they're like, "Give her back her baby." And it's like, how do you know whose baby is whose? And at this point,
she's
like,
playing the part.
I'm like, finally, like, you'll be able to tell the police the story and they can check it out.
But Kimberly takes over and she's like, "Oh my gosh, thank you, officer. She's trying to take my baby."
"Oh, but I don't want to press charges. You see, Miss Reynolds was a patient of mine and I delivered her stillborn baby a few days ago and now she's confused and she wants my baby."
"See to it that you just take her to her house and don't let her ever come back here. Thanks."
And they're like, "Oh, yes, of course." It's
That's
so,
not how police work.
It's so weird. Like, what?
They're just going to sit there and be like, "Hey, don't go back there."
Yeah, they just cart Joe off and that's it.
Now back to Vegas. Michael wakes up from his sexy time with Jane. He's like, "Jane, where are you going?" Jane's already up, getting dressed.
And she's like,
"Dip.
I have to go back to LA." And he's like, "No, come back to bed. I love you, Jane." And she's like,
"Thanks, Michael. I needed that."
And she's like, "Don't you understand? This is a one night stand. Like, there's nothing between us."
And Michael's like, but Jane, I love you, I think."
Yeah. And she's just like, "You are great, Michael. You're Bye. Great.
You love it when people give their performance reviews on sex.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
Hey, good sex last night. You were terrific. And now we go to Twin Oaks Rehab Facility.
Somehow, some way, Allison made it back.
And is she like blind? She's like walking in and she has like no idea what's going on.
How did she get there?
I think she walked it off. She just walked it.
Driving was an hour away. They were far.
Yeah. And that's a bet. If it's close to that bar that she was at, that's a poorly placed rehab facility.
Yeah. So she just like walks up to the front desk and she's like, "Hi, my name is Allison Parker. I'd like to sign up. I think I need help."
Also not how it works.
And then we...
"Can I sign up? You got a bed open for
me?" Like,
me?
This isn't like a community like YMCA swimming class. Yeah. Like, you'll like sign up for freaking rehab for 28 days.
Yeah.
But that's it, guys. That's the end of the episode.
End of the app. Let's recap this mofo.
Sydney is held captive, quote unquote, in Vegas by Chris.
Joe tries to get her baby back. Fails twice.
It is revealed that Peter is part of the doctor's group that owns D&D and appoints Amanda as the new president.
Bruce hangs himself. He is dead.
Matt, Susan, and Billy stage an intervention for Allison.
Billy gets tasked with firing Allison, but finds a loophole with Matt that she can't be fired if she gets treatment.
Chris loses all of Jane's money and runs away.
Michael and Jane get it on because they're broke.
Joe is arrested for trying to steal Kimberly's baby.
Yep, that's all I've got.
And Allison checks into rehab.
And Matt is doing nothing.
Matt is just rehab facilitator.
90s moments.
Black sheer nylon stockings.
Is that a big thing in the 90s?
Yes.
I've got Chris's cell phone.
Yeah, lots of people like had cell phones.
Looked like the StarTAC Motorola.
There were a couple cell phones this episode. Yeah. The Al Gore VP reference.
Oh, yeah. Michael just waiting at Jane's door. How long would you do that? Like, would you just call her?
That is a really great question. Like, how long would you wait around for someone to get home?
He had no idea when she would get back. He just leaned up.
Well, that's gotta
be a 90. I remember like coming home and like somebody would be on my porch.
Yeah.
Like in middle school.
Because
and
they
stuff.
Probably like know what time around what time you get home.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh hey, what are you up to?
Did you peep that hot green floor lamp in Allison's apartment?
No.
It's like a full on slime colored floor lamp.
Hmm. All right. Billy's jeans and dress shirt at work.
The old wire trash can by the bench where Allison just cried.
Nice. Matt's 4x4 geo tracker.
Gotta have that. The Patty Hearst reference.
Oh, yeah. The bathrooms at the gas station. No big ass like stick with a key.
Yeah, tied to it. You gotta have a key to get in these days.
Like, or they'll give you like a steering wheel or like a hubcap with a key on it, or like a bat or like some long plastic thing. Yeah. Need to have a key to that bathroom. All of these episodes, deep, deep, deep down, have a lesson that we can all take away and apply to our normal lives. Jenny, what's your lesson?
I've learned that if somebody wants to kidnap me and take me to Caesars on an all-expense-paid luxurious vacation, I'm going to say yes.
My lesson is when you get $500,000, don't immediately go to Vegas with Sydney because you will lose it all.
Good stuff. So, Dan, of course, this is the moment we've all been waiting for.
Bitch of the week!
I'm a boss ass bitch. Bitch, 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 bitch. I'm a boss ass bitch.
All right,
bitch,
so last bitch, week, bitch, Jenny, you said Kimberly was the bitch. Why? Because she stole a baby. And I said that Allison was the bitch of the week. Why? Because she blamed hitting a person with a car was not that bad. And with a vote of 17-7, Kimberly is, of course, the bitch of the week.
Yay!
Of course. So let's read some of your guys' responses.
So Alyssa writes, definitely Kimberly. I recently had a stillbirth, and for Kimberly to just completely act like that baby never existed is just so wrong to me. She would never get away with that today. And Alyssa, of course, our hearts go out to you. So sorry to read that, but
yeah.
I have to agree. I mean, that's totally the case.
Totally the case. I got the next one. Charlie, or Carly.
I think it's Charlie.
Charlie said, this was a tough decision. I agree. Allison is definitely a bitch for completely selfish. I was a little surprised that she called Billy from jail and not someone like Jake, since Allison's drinking is probably helping to fund shooters. That's a good point.
That is a good point.
However, being a selfish booze-hounding bitch is not anywhere near as bitchy as Kimberly stealing Joe's baby. She is so cunning and manipulative, and I'm baffled that Joe couldn't see through Kimberly's crazy eyes and see that she was up to something. I do have to say, though, I absolutely love crazy, villainous Kimberly. She's only going to get crazier. So my bitch of the week goes to Dr. Kimberly Shaw.
Yay! Well, Donald says, this was a hard decision. I can't believe Allison running over the kid was glossed over like she's cleared all of the charges. She didn't even act like she was sorry. But Kimberly was way worse. She saw that Joe was going through and came up with this horrible plan and took her baby. So wrong. By the way, the woman with the stillborn goes on to play Wendy, the nurse of the ER. And did you guys see how when Allison called Billy, Susan was kissing Billy and he had pushed her by putting his hand on her forehead to stop her? I didn't see that. I've never seen a guy do that to a woman. And I didn't get why Allison wants Billy back. It makes no sense. I don't know what is going on in her head. Also, Joe gets my vote for bitch also because
what?
Why would you go along with this plan? I know you just want to keep your baby, but you could have run away with your baby or got a new lawyer or fight for your baby. Anything but this, Joe. I thought you were way smarter than this. And you know what? I kind of agree with you, Donald. Like, I think once you can definitely appeal that decision.
Yeah, you get an appeal.
Yeah, it's like do it the right way.
Stephanie said, my vote is for Kimberly. This bitch has done nothing but steal people away from others because she feels entitled to them. It started with her stealing Michael from Jane and now ends with an innocent baby away from Joe. I don't know who the hell she thinks she is. She also swooped in and snatched Michael back from Sydney after everyone thought she died. Maybe Sydney and Michael's marriage wasn't exactly solid, but he was starting to fall in love with her. But old Kimberly came back and reclaimed what she thought was hers. With her, I think it's all about control and power. And for that, she is so bitch of the week.
And you know what, Stephanie? You bring up a really good point because I really feel like Michael and Sydney are best suited for each other. I think that they're like the diabolical duo. Even I think Kimberly is just too supernatural for him. Like, really?
She's not of this world.
Yeah, like, she, like, belongs in another realm.
She needs to find a demon of her own.
So Heather Rina says, it's definitely a tough decision. On one hand, you have Allison, who was involved in a drunk driving accident that resulted in a boy getting hit. Being an alcoholic, she has yet to really face her responsibilities and still has the poor me attitude. Kimberly stole a baby. She manipulated Joe to have her deliver her baby just so Joe could think she was going to be able to keep her own baby, and all the while plotting to steal it and cover her tracks by making it look like the baby died and was cremated with the death certificate and everything. Now she's going to pass Joe off as some grief-stricken mother with a mental illness. Kimberly is definitely the bitch of the week.
Zach said, I want to throw it back to when Kimberly changed that one dude's hospital records in order to discredit Michael. I don't consider her actions to be bitchy. She has a no concept of right or wrong, and in her mind, she's doing what she thinks is morally acceptable. Allison, on the other hand, is just being bitchy, and therefore deserves the award. But we need to talk about a much more pressing matter. It's seeming like Chris Marchette's time on Melrose Place is likely nigh now that Jane has become wise to his scheme, and he has yet to win title of Bitch of the Week.
Ooh.
Righted noms don't count, and unlike Kimberly, Chris does understand right from wrong and continuously chooses to be a piece of shit and just keeps getting away with it. This guy has been on the longer running recurring characters on this show, and it would be a tragedy if he skates by without getting any blood on his hands. Seriously, Dan, you wasted a nom on Mr. McDermott. Let's get him nominated. Let's get him nominated. Let's get him bitch stamped, and let's make Crocodile Dundee a Dundee. With all due respect,
Zach,
beautiful.
You need to run for public office. Yeah. I don't know. That was so well thought out and put together. And you know, you bring up a great point. I am not really like keeping track of this, but Chris hasn't won Bitch of the Week.
I tried, guys.
You know what?
I fucking tried.
He might be gone.
I tried, and y'all voted somebody else.
He ran away.
Yeah.
We don't know.
We don't know.
All right. Next up, we have Shayna. Allison is definitely a bitch in this episode. However, Kimberly befriended Joe, made her trust her, and then stole her baby. All caps. Stole her baby. And then has the nerve to pretend that Joe is crazy? What a bitch.
Sherry says, I'm going with Jenny Hill this week on this one. Kimberly Shaw is the bitch of the week for sure. Kimberly promised to help Joe keep her baby by faking the baby's death. So the Carters won't be able to take the baby away from Joe. So Kimberly insisted that Joe will have her baby induced and have the baby at Kimberly and Michael's beach house. And Kimberly would tell the Carters' lawyer that the baby was stillborn and died so that Joe can take off with her baby to start a new life. And not to mention that Kimberly also took that poor woman's name out of the computer to put Joe's name under the baby being stillborn. That was a really horrible thing to do. And then Kimberly, being the true psychopath that she is, has the nerve to try to breastfeed Joe's baby with her own breasts. acting as if she was the mother of Joe's baby and claiming the child as her own after she promised Joe a new life for her and her baby. And then when Joe goes to pick up the baby, Kimberly acts like she has no idea what Joe's doing there. Now that is a crazy bitch move. So Jenny gets my vote for Kimberly Shaw, bitch of the week in this episode. Woo! Also, Dan and Jenny, the original song heard in the beginning of this episode is the song Am I Wrong by Love Spit Love.
Okay, what?
I don't know. And the song heard at the end of the closing credits is the song How Was It For You by the band James.
Period.
And that song is also on the Melrose Place soundtrack. Interesting.
Cool. We got to get that soundtrack, Dan.
Yeah.
We'll get it. We're talking about it. But yeah, thank you guys so much for your input.
Yeah, thanks for writing it.
A lot of great little things that we maybe hadn't considered that you guys brought to our attention. So thank you for that.
Yes, and thank you.
Daniel, I think it's now time to see who our noms are.
Well, there could be a lot of people here. Obviously, Chris. Chris did some bitchy things.
Yeah, we're going to kind of go at this a little different this week.
Yeah, it could be Sydney. Sydney was pretty bitchy,
complicit in the whole, oh, I'm being kidnapped, but not really, and just spending all this money that isn't mine and making everybody worry about me.
Mm-hmm. Could be Amanda, cold-hearted bitch. Didn't give a fuck that Bruce was dead in her office.
It's like, fire Allison, I don't care.
Could be Susan for just not caring.
Could be Michael for cheating on his new wife.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Michael cheated on Kimberly in this episode.
Yep.
Jane kind of cheated on Chris in this episode.
Hardly, Dan.
Yeah, they're not really together.
Yeah.
The bitch could be Joe. The way she treated that, like, records
that poor
guy.
Hospital clerk.
She really threw him through a fucking, the ringer.
Yeah, there were a lot of possibilities, but since I won last bitch of the week, I'm going to go first. My nomination for this week is Amanda Woodward.
Ooh.
Amanda! Okay, so we're going through this story arc where she and Peter are getting together to sacrifice the lambs and making sure that they're going to be the top people at D&D advertising.
Quick, play my computer chess. And tell me the three weaknesses. Mental, physical,
emotional. And
now have sex with me on this leopard skin rug. On a leopard skin rug.
Now, after all of this whole, like, oh, of course, Bruce, I have your best interests at heart, she completely sabotages him. And then it all comes to light that she's been behind this entire time. And she has no remorse. She does not care. She does not care about Bruce's, the history that they have together and how this is going to impact him. She only cares about herself. And I think the other thing that's really weird to me is that she's making Billy fire Allison. And it's kind of like, What, you can't do it yourself? You can't just say, Elsa, you're done? Or is she doing it because the fact that Billy is going to fire her, it's going to sting more?
Yeah, she wants to, like, fuck her up, like, mentally.
Here is this guy that you are obviously still in love with, and, like, he left you, and now you're just trying to reconcile that by becoming an alcoholic. And I am going to make him the guy that, like, swooped in, that you say you need space. He goes and gets a job at your company, basically working alongside you. And then he's going to become, like, above you and then fire you. I think maybe that's really part of her plan. So that whole, like, I just want to, like, be vindictive and hurt people attitude, I think, is such a bitchy thing to do. And that just seems to be her hallmark. That is vintage Amanda. That's what she does. And finally, the fact that her actions lead to Bruce's suicide. And like we just mentioned, it's not like he's being carted out by the coroner on a freaking stretcher. And she's like, Billy, fire a man. Like, Billy, fire Allison.
Yeah, like, your boss just died.
Doesn't even care. Fire Allison. I want her out of here.
Doesn't give a shit.
So, for those reasons, it's Amanda for me.
I'm going to go with Zach here on Zach's requests. And I'm voting for Chris Marchette.
Oh, look at that.
This guy's got to get it, man. I mean, you can't be that bad at gambling to lose $500,000 in less than 48 hours.
That's insane.
A fucking monkey could, like, randomly gamble better than that. Like, Chris, you are a bitch, man. Like, come on, read a book, something. Watch a video on how to place bets. That's very bitchy. Also, yo, Chris, man, you can't get girls. Is that the problem? Like, you have to give Sydney a $40,000 necklace and earrings and then kidnap her and buy her a dress, all for her to, like, not have sex with you and lock herself in a room. That's super bitch move. That's
like, with all that money, you could pay anybody that would act however you wanted them to act.
Exactly. You could pay for the hottest chick in Vegas.
And to pretend like they don't like you.
Right. They'll do whatever you want. I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm assuming, like,
I was like, you know, from experience.
Yeah, I'm assuming that this can happen. So, Chris, man, you are just a fucking bitch. And we got to get this guy bitch of the week. Zach's right. Who cares? Whatever he's done, fine. But he needs to get bitch of the week before he leaves. So vote on Twitter and in our Facebook group for bitch of the week.
Dan, this episode was called Just Say No.
Dumb.
Why? We haven't figured it out yet. But what are you going to rename it?
I like renaming episodes a general thing that like
can apply to
like other storylines. Yeah. So I'm renaming this one Breaking the Habit, because
I'm breaking the habit.
I don't know what that
tonight.
I don't. What are you doing there?
Linkin Park.
No. That's what he says.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm doing Breaking the Habit because of Allison and because Chris. He needs to break that gambling habit.
Cool. I like it.
Thanks, man.
Well, I kind of going your approach too, kind of picking something that can apply to many things. And I've found that there are a lot of storylines that are kind of unfinished. We're kind of like, what's going on with Chris? What's going on with Joe and the baby? What's going on with Allison and her recovery? So I'm renaming this Hanging in the Balance.
Oh.
And it has a little...
Because Bruce is dead.
He's resolved.
He's done.
But yeah. That's my rename.
I like Bruce. I like No Glasses Bruce.
Yeah, No Glasses Bruce was like a lot more in your face and kind of like, we got to do what it takes.
And
we
got to
band together.
That guy was a...
He was a
force to be reckoned with on the dance floor.
I've never seen anything like it. I thought that was going to get him.
Yeah.
Who could have thought it would be by his own hand?
Oh, Bruce. Damn you, Bruce. Why? So, predictions. What do we think is going to happen moving forward?
I'm just wondering, is Chris gone? Is this it?
I'm sure he'll have a final like hoorah.
I don't know. I hope he does because I know like we see the back of him. He's gone. So maybe next episode he does resurface.
He's probably in more episodes than Katya, wouldn't you say? Maybe. Katya got a better send off.
Yeah. Well,
if that was the end.
We don't know. And you know what's like? There's got to be some kind of repercussions from his company. I mean, they sent $500,000 and they're wanting a return on their investment. So what's going to happen there? Maybe he gets caught. Maybe we see some legal woes that he has to go through. I think that this baby stuff is going to catch up with Kimberly. Like, you can't just have a baby just show up and thought, oh, this is my kid now, without having any kind of documentation about, like, who this kid is and like how you got them.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you have someone accusing you that you stole their baby, you're going to need to have something to back it up.
Oh yeah.
Not that Kimberly isn't clever enough to forge any of those documents, but I think that it's going to probably be Michael who's going to be like, this cannot go on. Like, we cannot have a baby. So we'll see what happens there. I think that Michael is now going to sweat Jane and he's going to be like all about her, try to win her back. And I think Allison is going to recover. She's going to come out of the program totally like anew.
Boo.
And I think she's going to go back to D&D and just like how her and Amanda can be hot and cold like every other episode, she'll come back and like prove herself and like she'll be in Amanda's good graces again.
Boo.
And I'm thinking Sid and Jake are done. I think that's over.
I think Jane and Michael are going to continue their little flings, their little side flings. That'll be exciting. I think Sydney and Jake are going to work it out. I think they'll work it out.
Oh, okay.
I think Joe is going to get the police involved and like get some DNA stuff going on to get that baby back. I think Allison's going to keep her job at D&D, and Amanda is going to make her life just miserable. I think next episode we're going to get more Matt and Jeffrey. And I think someone is going to do the laundry. We haven't had many laundry scenes.
Yeah, we haven't seen the laundry in a while.
Yeah. I think we're going to get a laundry scene.
Okay.
So I hope. That's my goal.
Well, time will only tell next week.
Time will tell. Guys, we got a new Patreon contributor.
Woo, woo, woo!
Nikki C. Thank you.
Nikki, welcome.
We love you.
Thank you.
Enjoy them bonus apps. Enjoy that video. There's going to be more coming.
We promise, guys.
Because Bruce just died.
Bruce just died.
We're going to need to talk about Bruce a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to need to give him a little quickie send-off. And we just can't thank you enough for your support. We are an independent podcast. We do this when we can in our spare time.
It's 12:30 a.m. right now.
It honestly is. And it's, you know, it's a lot of time and a lot of investment. This just kind of makes it worth it for us. So.
And we thank the people that are contributing already. You guys are awesome. We really... really love you.
We do. You're the best. And if you want to contribute, even as little as $1 a month, we'll take it. Yeah. You can go to
patreon.com/MelrosePod and contribute there. We're on Facebook, Twitter, IG, at MelrosePod. You can join our group on Facebook. It's pretty dope. Stephanie, she posted in there about the breastfeeding scene with Kimberly, and she said it would be possible had she been taking medication to produce milk. Women who have adopted infants have done this. It sounds weird, but it's It's doable.
Wow, okay.
So maybe she was taking those pills when she was like trying to get...
Could be.
What's her face to give up the baby.
Could be.
Alyssa said the Melrose Place soundtrack is very good. Every single song. She listened to the CD till it wore out back when it first came out. Yeah, a lot of stuff about fucking Heather Locklear being a wreck.
Yeah.
And gosh. And Amanda N confirmed that that it's Ding Dong Ditch.
No, she called it Belfast. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember like when we did the poll a long time ago, someone called it like Nicky Knocky Nine Door or some shit like that. It's like, what the fuck is Nicky Knocky Nine Door? Are you kidding me? Gregory posted, did I already say this on the last podcast? He was like, hey guys, remember when Allison's biggest problem was choosing a color for her walls?
Yeah, I think we did talk about that, but still, yes. Great question. As we continue to go on, you just have to like really think back to those early episodes and just see how the beast it's become.
Yeah, it's gotten crazy. So get in there, talk to us. We don't bite. And have fun. And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, man. Help us out. You're listening to us on your iPhone right now. Scroll down. Leave us a review. We really appreciate it.
We love smut.
And we love you. Bye-bye.